Hey y'all, it's Crystal.
And it's Samantha, and this is Cerealholic Sisters.
True crime shit. Hey girl, hey.
Hey.
We are hoping and praying the Wi-Fi doesn't suck ass this time.
Was a terror last time we recorded because it literally went out like 100 times. In the end, she finally hotspotted her phone just to get her internet to work right. Did you end up calling them?
No, I was so angry and I was like, I'm gonna call Xfinity. Why do I pay so much a month for all this? This is bullshit. I don't even use it that often and it never works when I use it. And I was so mad, but I couldn't call them then because it was like late at night. And so by the time it was time to call them, I had like
So you
forgot
calmed
about
down.
it. Right? That's how it all they
So
plan it. They plan it that way. That's how it always works out.
my internet company does that too. And unfortunately, I live in a small town. So if my internet goes out, then half the town's internet goes out. So it doesn't matter if I like go somewhere else to record.
Right, then you'll have like one option for Wi-Fi, so it doesn't matter.
So just so you're aware, when that happens, I mean, like literally you're not getting anything.
So stupid.
My hands look like I was a serial killer.
I saw that on Facebook last night that you look like you've murdered somebody. Your hands are just stained red, so that's cool.
I actually had one of my friends text me and was like, "Are you a closet serial killer?" I'm like, "No, I promise you I'm not. I forgot to wear gloves when I was tie-dyeing."
Yep, that'll do that.
Yeah, I was bulk tie-dyeing, because I have a t-shirt business. And so when I was doing that, I was doing something different. I got these new powder dyes for ice dyeing, and you don't touch it with your hands by all means. Like you literally use like a
Oh,
teaspoon or a spoon or
well, then
anything.
you did it wrong because it's all over your hands.
No, so I was doing that, and then I forgot. Oh crap, I need to turn these a certain way because these are not like the ice isn't going to stay if I do it this way. So I touched it after I had applied the dye, and I was like, damn it. I have nothing new. I know your
Okay.
daughter's going to go to Chilton, so
Yeah, we've
that's
enrolled our
it.
my daughter in Chilton private school this year. You want to Chilton, so I'm now forever broke.
It's not really Chilton, but we like to call it Chilton. It
Help me, I'm poor. Yeah,
is your turn.
it's my turn. It's and I guess we should go ahead and get into it because it's kind of long, but not too long. But so this week I have a pretty disturbing case. Especially for all the parents out there. So you're
Oh,
welcome.
goody.
Yeah. As parents, you know, we can't help but worry about our kiddos like nonstop. From the time they're born, we immediately begin worrying about like keeping them safe. They're like so wee and fragile and like we're in charge of keeping them alive. Like who decided that was okay, right?
I
But
know. Like I can't
then
even keep house plants alive.
right.
And you expect me to keep a human being alive?
A lot. So you think to yourselves, okay, you know, once they're a little older and a little more independent, this fear will kind of subside, you know? But honestly, it just grows because now they're a toddler and they're mobile and they're getting into everything and they don't yet know that stovetops are hot or electrical outlets are shocky or literally everything they pick up is a choking hazard.
Right.
So, you know, you helicopter over them, you keep them safe while teaching them all of those things. And then you blink, and before you know it, they're teenagers. And then there's all these new terrifying fears to deal with, like them
Oh,
hanging out
like
with friends.
driving
Yep,
and
driving.
bad influences.
Exactly. Are
Yep.
they hanging out with the wrong crowd? Are they being exposed to drugs and alcohol and shoplifting? And you're just hoping that they hear your voice in their head saying, you know, that's wrong. Don't do that. So, as we've talked about so many times here, the world is a scary ass place, and there are scary ass predators everywhere. So it's our job to teach our kids about this and try to keep them away from any situation that seems sketchy. But as a parent, one thing that most of us never really worry about with our kids is what we're going to talk about today. So most of us never in a million years worry about our own safety around our kids, and neither did Tyler Hadley's parents.
What does that even mean?
So there was a point in his life that his mother, Mary Jo, was worried that Tyler might harm himself or others, but I don't think she ever thought he would harm her or his father.
Oh, okay. Now I get what you mean.
Yeah.
I was like, what?
Exactly. So let's get into it.
Is this the kid that killed his mom over a video game?
No,
Oh, okay.
it's not. But that's stupid, right?
Yeah, I don't know if you followed that whole case. She took his console away or something like that, and he got so angry he stabbed her like 18 times
What the fuck, kid? Jesus.
over being grounded, like not being able to play his Xbox.
Good
It
God.
was freaking crazy.
Also, I don't like that his name is Tyler because I have a Tyler. And the whole time I was like typing this, every time I read Tyler, it freaked me out.
It bad that I'm one of those? So, what's the fear called where you're afraid of, like, where you literally think the worst and
Oh.
put death into every situation? So,
Yeah.
I do that. I actually, after like reading several cases and stuff like that, and like deep diving in things, one of my, it's not really a fear, it's just like you constantly think about it. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
One of the things I've thought about is every time I ground my children, I'm like, they're gonna come into my bedroom at night and they're gonna stab me.
Okay.
But they're
So
not like that. They're not like
So
that.
that's what I was just talking about, that most of us don't have that fear. So, okay.
No, so it's not really like I'm not scared or anything, if that makes sense. It's just like you're constantly thinking about like, what
Right.
if? You
I
know what
was
I
like,
mean?
what's going on with your kids that I don't know about? Should you
No,
padlock your room from
no. Let me totally reword that. My kids
the
are, you know, they're just like any normal kid that like gets annoyed or whatever when they get grounded and stuff, but they are
Right.
not violent kids. So I don't ever have to worry about that. But I'm just like, it's not a fear, but it's like you constantly think about things like that because I think about all of the worst situations that could happen. And I think it's because of like studying some of the stuff I study,
Right.
researching cases. Like you don't think about it and now you do. Does that make
Right.
sense?
Yeah, totally. Totally.
So it's not like I'm like scared. It's not like a actual fear or
Right.
whatever, like arachnophobia or anything like that. Like it's not a phobia, but it's like, oh,
It's just
I
something
never
that's
thought
kind of
about
there in the
that.
back of your mind now.
Now I think about that. Like, for
Okay.
instance, when my batteries die on my Ring camera because we have it hooked up by battery operated instead of like wire operated because we haven't done that yet. And so when the batteries die, I'm like, oh, what would happen if somebody broke into my house this time because the batteries are dead and we wouldn't be able to catch who it was? And then, like, that's the type of things that I think about. So then
Right.
I immediately get up and change the batteries.
Well, there you go. There you go.
Anyways, continue.
Okay. So, Tyler Hadley was the youngest of two sons born to Mary Jo and Blake Hadley. The couple had moved to Port St. Lucie, Florida in 1987, 24 years before the tragic incident that we're going to talk about today happened. So Mary Jo worked for 24 years as a beloved elementary school teacher in the St. Lucie County District. According to Cameron Adams, who was a friend of Tyler's and was also a student of Mary Jo's, he described her saying, "No matter who you were, even if she didn't like you, she would never give up on you." So she was just like a beloved teacher by everybody. Blake worked for 30 years as a plant operator for Florida Power and Light in Port St. Lucie. And the same year that they moved there, their first son, Ryan, was born. 6 years later, Tyler was born prematurely on December 6th. Nope, not December 2nd. That's my husband's birthday. 6 years later, Tyler was born prematurely on December 16th, 1993, weighing only 3 pounds and 10 ounces. So Mary Jo had a really tough pregnancy with him and had to be induced a month before he was due. And due to this, he was like super premature. He was super tiny. And the first month of his life was spent in an incubator at the NICU. So this understandably caused Mary Jo to be like super protective of him. As he grew up, the two of them were very close and they had like a very special bond. Tyler relied on her heavily, and she, as any mother would, enjoyed the fact that her little boy like needed her as much as he did. Tyler was also very close to his father growing up. Blake would often work late shifts at the power plant, and Tyler would stay up and wait for his dad to get home just so that he knew his dad got home safe.
Aww.
Right? As a young boy, he was described as loving but withdrawn. He was known to keep to himself. He was super shy, and he was also a very, very anxious child. So at a young age, he struggled with anxiety and would often have like almost daily panic attacks. And he also felt guilty very easily. There was one instance when he was having an argument with his mom. And when he was like super little, they never argued or fought. But in the heat of this argument, he told her to shut up. And immediately after those words came out of his mouth, he like burst into tears because he felt so guilty about what he just said to her and like was apologizing. So, you know, he cared about his parents. He had a lot of illnesses as a child, and his parents did everything they could to try to help him. Between the ages of 8 and 10, Mary Jo started to notice a shift in Tyler's behavior. So Mary Jo had suffered from depression her whole life, and she was starting to recognize some of the same symptoms coming from him. And she didn't want him to suffer as much as she had, so she and Blake took him to like different doctors and psychiatrists, trying to like get ahead of it, you know?
Oh, okay.
By the age of 10, he was being treated with various medications for various issues. So he was controversially prescribed antidepressants at the age of 10 for his
Yeah,
depression.
I just don't agree with that. I'm not
Right.
saying like I'm not downing them or anything. This they wouldn't have known.
Right. They're just
But
trying to help him out. Like they're trying to do
oh
whatever they
yeah.
can to help him. But at that young an age of an
Yeah,
age, that's
that's crazy that their psychologist even did that. But I mean, they're prepubescent. They haven't even hit puberty yet. Hormones are
right.
not even, they're not there really. Like they're I
They're
mean, they're
not
there, but
there.
you know what I mean. There's so much. Yeah, no. Oh, goody.
Yeah.
My internet connection is unstable.
I was going to say, when you were talking just now, it was breaking up a little bit.
It's me this time.
Fucking A. Okay. So, yeah, well, he was speaking of hormones, he was also taking growth hormones because he had like a thyroid condition. Tyler was very self-conscious, which was made worse when he began experiencing acne at a young age. So he was prescribed Accutane for this. He also suffered from eating disorders, specifically bulimia at a young age, which you don't hear about often in like young males. He was described as quote unquote chubby by some family members when he was young. And because of this, he became obsessed with his weight and was very worried about getting fat.
You know, I will say that I feel like anorexia and bulimia do start young because of that. And it worries me when I
Right.
hear kids at such a young age say things like that. It worries me. I hate when I hear people say chunky or chubby or whatever to
Right.
kids,
Yeah,
because
totally.
that is how it starts to me. Just like drives me nuts.
Yeah. So he had a lot of self-esteem issues that would leak into basically everything he did. So he would often quit hobbies, projects, or sports like very soon after starting them, basically saying like, I suck at this, or I'm not good enough to do this. And according to his grandmother, he often said that he was like a step below everyone else. Like he was just always down on himself. Now, it's thought that this cocktail of drugs that he was on at such a young age contributed to the change in his behavior from the age of 10 and up. By the age of 11, had begun acting out and getting into trouble. He broke windows and he broke things in people's yards. He put shoe paint on people's cars, stole people's Christmas lights, defaced public restrooms with Sharpies, and started setting small fires. He also became super disruptive in school. One former classmate said that there was this one instance where he just started like mooing like a cow in the middle of class. Like he would just
Do
do
what?
ridiculous things like that. Yeah. Just started mooing, you know.
Okay.
He also started to argue pretty regularly with his parents. And like I'd said before, this was something that he had rarely done before. After one of these arguments, Tyler went to a friend's house and told him that he had thought about murdering his parents. Yeah. So his friend kind of just laughed this off as, you know, oh, Tyler's just blown off steam. You know, he's just mad at them right now. But this was just the first example of Tyler having these thoughts and like expressing to various people that he wanted to kill his parents. Like, he said that many more times over the years to several different friends. By
I feel
the
like
age
I wouldn't joke about that, but okay.
Right. I mean, it's one thing to be like, oh, I'm so pissed at my parents, you know, that's this and this or whatever, but that's escalated real quickly, dude. Like, so quickly. By the age of 12, Tyler had begun self-medicating with alcohol. By the age of 12, not just like sneaking a little sip here or there from like the liquor closet, like he began heavily drinking. By the age of 15, he was smoking the marijuana. And by the age of 16, he had moved on to taking any pills that he could get his hands on, including like Xanax, Percocet, oxycodone, ecstasy.
How did all that escalate that way?
Well, apparently this St. Port Lucie, Florida, there was not a lot to do if you're a teenager, but there was a lot of drugs available. Like a lot. In school, he wasn't popular, but he also wasn't not popular. He was just kind of just there, you know? Like, a lot of people knew who he was, but also a lot of people had never heard of him. He was kind of goofy and was known to play pranks around his friends, but was really quiet and reserved around people he didn't know. He was also known by a lot of people, including his older brother, as a pathological liar. So that's cool. And one time he and his friends once lit the River Park Wildlife Reserve on fire.
Do what?
Yeah. So what they did was they dragged an old couch into like the middle of a field in this wildlife reserve, doused it with gasoline, and like lit it on fire.
Like, who would think to do that?
Right. Like, why? What is the purpose? So somehow, I have no clue how, but somehow they all got off with only a warning for that. Like, for
yeah,
setting
I want to know.
Serve on
I
fire.
want to know how, because wildfires are bad. Okay.
Okay.
Do you not know what is the bear's name?
Smokey. Smokey
yes,
the bear.
Smokey the bear. Did they
it took
never
me a
watch...
second. I was like, "What are you talking about?"
Did they never watch the Smokey the Bear things in school? Do you
I mean,
remember having to do that?
Well,
I
I was gonna
remember
say
having to do
back
that.
then, Smokey the Bear. There was commercials on Saturday morning all the time with Smokey the Bear.
Yeah, but we didn't even live near the like big
Yeah, no, we
forests and stuff.
not even
And we
close.
still had to watch that stuff in school.
Yeah, because he don't play about wildfires.
No, that's nuts.
Yeah. So his parents were obviously extremely worried about him. And they enrolled him into a substance abuse program. But he continued to get into trouble. So Mary Jo and Blake had had enough in April of 2011 when he was arrested for aggravated battery after getting into a fight at a friend's house. Now, before this, he already had a juvenile record for burglary, you know, from like stealing stuff from people's houses when he was doing all that stuff when he was 11. So because of that, he had to spend a week in jail followed by 2 weeks of house arrest. When he got out of jail and was home for the house arrest, Mary Jo took his phone away as a punishment also, and he got super pissed about it. This meant, you know, he had to rely on Facebook to communicate with his friends. So there's a lot of Facebook messages in this case that you can go back and look at. He messaged one friend named Isadora Gasco. So I'm just going to read you their messages real quick. So Tyler's like, don't text me about drugs. Isadora, what happened? Tyler, my mom has my phone because I got arrested on Monday and she's flipping shit. I just got out today. Isadora, oh shit. Tyler, fucking shit sucks. Isadora, you bad kid. Tyler, just kidding. This is weird. He's like, just kidding. It's a pirate's life for me. Right. So Isadora says, LMAO, what the fuck are you talking about?
That's what I would have said.
Right. And in all caps,
mean?
He says, I don't fucking associate with non-pirates. Isadora says, what?
Again, same.
So Tyler says, okay, I'm done with all the nautical nonsense. Okay. It's just a weird.
What are you reading?
Right. So Isadora says, you're so silly. What are you doing? And then this escalates quickly. He says, nothing, considering suicide. He's all over the place.
Oh my God.
She says, why? With a bunch of exclamation points and question marks. And he said, because I want to die, I guess. What other reasons are there? She says, are you serious? He says, yes, I do want to die sometimes. She says, don't die. Smoke a bowl whenever you're down.
What?
I'm telling you, all the kids did drugs there. There was nothing else to do. Tyler said, I used to. Now I drink a lot when I'm depressed. And then in all caps, he says, it fills the emptiness inside me. I'm like, why is he yelling? She says, you're quite a character. And he says, yes, but all my smiles are fake. So there's so many red flags there. He's all over the place. I'm sure it's a combination of the medications he's on and all this
Oh, I'm
stuff.
sure.
So, but there were still moments when the old Tyler would come out. So, like, one of those times was just the next month on Mother's Day. Tyler was chatting on Facebook with his friend Mercedes Marco, and he was telling her about his house arrest. And so she's like, oh, that sucks. Like, is your mom pissed? And he says, no, she's disappointed. I feel bad. She was crying. And so Mercedes is like, oh, well, did you guys do anything for her today? It's Mother's Day. And he was like, yeah, me and my brother took her out to eat and whatnot. She says, oh, that's so nice. And he said, I know. And then in all caps, it was a nice day. So I don't know what the thing with all the all caps, but it's like very aggressive to my eyeballs. Like, I don't like it. About a month later, one Friday night in June of 2011, Tyler drove home extremely intoxicated after hanging at a friend's house and urinating on the friend's bed.
Ew.
Yeah. So this was the last straw for his parents. Under the Baker Act, they admitted him to New Horizons, a mental health clinic. So the Baker Act is a Florida law that allows parents to commit their children under the age of 18 to involuntary psychiatric treatment. And this is only used if it's deemed that there's a substantial likelihood that without intervention, the child will cause serious bodily harm to himself or others in the near future. So they were able to like commit him under this law. And a coworker had once asked Mary Jo if she was worried about Tyler ever hurting her. And she responded, she was like, no, I'm only worried that Tyler might hurt himself.
Which
So,
is
yeah.
understandable because, I mean, most parents don't think about
Exactly.
their child hurting them.
Exactly.
If you would have asked, if it would have been me and they would have been like, have you ever worried that your child's going to hurt you? I'd have been like, you know, not until you brought
Right.
that
I wasn't until now.
up.
Thank you.
Like, that is how my mind works.
So during this time at New Horizons, Tyler was forced to attend daily counseling. And unfortunately, this didn't sit well with Tyler. But his mother thought that he was turning a new leaf. In fact, just 2 weeks before the party that Tyler throws that we're going to get into, Mary Jo told friends that Tyler was over the hurdle and that she really felt like he was back to himself. Meanwhile, during that same time, Tyler was hanging out at his friend Marky Phillips' house. And while there, Tyler suddenly blurted out that he wanted to kill his parents and have a big party after. That same week, he was chatting with his friend Mercedes on Facebook and was complaining about his mom taking his cell phone and said he may kill her.
Again, if I were their friends, this is just me. Maybe this is just me. If my friend said something like that, I would be like, yeah, I'm gonna tell my parents so they'll contact them.
Yeah, right. 'Cause this is not
If I was a like
okay.
teenager, you know?
Right. Absolutely. Even yeah, you're my friend. That's why that's concerning. Like, I would want you to get help.
Yeah.
So Mercedes replied, "OMG, no jail or no prison, I mean. LOL." And Tyler just said, "Oh well." So the weekend before the party, Tyler and his dad and grandpa Maurice Hadley traveled to Georgia for a family reunion. And Maurice said that they all had a great time enjoying family from like all over the states that they don't see very often. He said that Tyler and his dad seemed to be having a great time together, and there was nothing that seemed out of the ordinary or indicated to him that there were any issues between Tyler and his parents. And the night before the party, the Hadleys had gone out to dinner as a family. On the way, they stopped at a Circle K where Tyler ran into his friend Cameron Adams. Cameron said that Tyler seemed to be in a good mood at the time. Cameron asked Tyler how his parents were, and Tyler said they're all right. And then Cameron told Tyler that it was his birthday, and him and his girlfriend were on their way to Benihana's to celebrate. So Tyler was like, oh, happy birthday. You should come to my house tomorrow. I'm having a party. We'll celebrate. It'll be great. So apparently, Tyler had been telling all of his friends that week that he was going to be having a huge party at his house on Saturday, but nobody really believed him for a couple reasons. One was that he had never thrown a party before, ever. And another was that they couldn't believe that his parents would give him permission to throw a huge party, especially with how strict they'd been on him lately since getting arrested and everything.
It just hit me what case this is.
Uh-huh. Yep.
I
I was waiting. The first time I said party, I was like, she's gonna know now,
Yeah,
but like you didn't say anything.
I know what case this is now.
Yeah.
I clearly could not remember any names or like real
Right.
details of the case, but I know what case this is now. Continue.
So that brings us to July 16th, 2011. At 11:25 a.m., Tyler got a Facebook message from his friend Antonio Ramirez. And I'm just going to read the messages real quick. So Tyler says, "Sup, brah," like bra spelled BRA.
Oh,
That's how he
okay.
typed it. Yeah. And Antonio says, "Chillin', what you doing tonight?" Tyler, "Trying to have a party at my crib." Antonio, "Your parents ain't home?" Tyler, "Nope. Well, they're leaving soon." A little later at 1:15 p.m., Tyler posted a message on his Facebook wall that said, "Party at my crib tonight, dot dot dot, maybe." So everyone was still super skeptical about a party happening, and they didn't take this post very seriously. Then at 8:15 p.m., Tyler posted another message that read, "Party at my house, HMU," which,
Hit me up.
yeah, but it took me a
It's
second when
okay.
I was reading it. I was like, comma, comma, what is
I
that?
know. We're old. Hit me up. Got
It took me a second, then I was like, wow, I'm dumb.
it.
A friend named Ashley Hayes messaged and said, "Whoa, what if your parents come home?" And Tyler replied, "They won't, trust me." So everyone was stoked. Before long, there were over 60 kids at Tyler's house. Most of them didn't even know who he was, like just random kids there. By midnight, there were over 100 kids there. So why was Tyler so confident that his parents weren't going to come home during the party?
I know.
Because they were already home. Let's talk about what happened in those 7 hours between the two posts that Tyler put on Facebook, on his Facebook wall. So between 1:15 and 8:15, when his post went from "party at my crib maybe" to "it's going down, I'm yelling timber," the first thing Tyler did was take away his parents' cell phones. So he figured if they didn't have their phones, they wouldn't be able to call for help. He then popped 3 ecstasy pills because he didn't feel like he could kill them sober. And then after listening to "Feel Lucky" by Lil Boozy to help hype him up, Tyler went downstairs. At around 5 p.m., he took a claw hammer that he found in the garage and stood behind his mother, who was working at the family computer in the family room. So Tyler stood behind her with that hammer for a full on like 5 minutes with her not knowing he was there, just like
Which also,
contemplating.
I would absolutely feel like somebody was watching me. That
Okay.
is just me.
Yes.
I'm sorry, but I'm not like saying anything negative about her by
No,
all
not at
means, but
all.
I'm saying, I mean, I can be in a dead ass sleep and my child could be standing in my bedroom, like afraid to wake me or something.
Right.
And just be standing there, and I will straight wake up and be like, "What are you
Yes. So there was literally one time when Tyler was still a to my Tyler was still a toddler, like little
doing?"
toddler, and I was dead asleep. It's like freaking 2 in the morning or some shit.
Did you push him? Because I pushed my child.
I almost punched him because I woke, I felt I was sleeping and I was waking because I felt like somebody was watching me. I opened my eyes and his nose was almost touching my nose, is
Yes.
how close he was to my face. Like
Harlow's done that,
I almost punched him and it was terrifying.
So Harlow did that when she was like 3 years old, and I didn't punch her, but my reflex was to like shove them out of the
Right,
way.
right.
So I absolutely did do that, and
Oh
then I got up really quick because I realized what I had done, and she was like crying. I was like, "Oh, come here! I'm so sorry. What's wrong? What do you need?"
because I
But
realized I'd
yes.
assaulted my child.
I have absolutely done, because I didn't know who it was. They
Right.
were just like right here. But she's like, "Mom, mom." And I'm like shoving her away.
Hey y'all, want to make a podcast? Spotify's got a platform that lets you make one super easily, then distribute it anywhere and even earn money, all in one place for free. It's called Spotify for Podcasters, and here's how it works. Spotify for Podcasters lets you record and edit podcasts right from your phone or computer, so no matter what your setup is like, you can start creating today. Then you can distribute your podcast to Spotify and everywhere else podcasts are heard.
Video podcasts are also available on Spotify.
With Spotify for Podcasters, you can earn money in a variety of ways, including ads and podcast subscriptions. And best of all, it's totally free with no catch. Ever since I discovered Spotify for Podcasters, it's made recording such a breeze. I highly recommend you give it a try. Download the Spotify for Podcasters app or go to www.spotify.com/podcasters to get started.
So yeah, so he stood behind her for 5 whole minutes, kind of trying to muster up the courage to go through it, is what he said before.
I feel like I would never have the courage to do that.
Never have the thought to do that. So yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I guess that sounds bad when I say that way too, but you know what I meant. I would never want to or think about doing that to my parents. Like, so, how do you muster up the courage, you know?
Right. Unfortunately, he did. So he brought the hammer down hard into the back of his mother's skull. Mary Jo screamed out, "Why?" Which was like her last words to her son, was "Why?"
That is so sad.
Yes. So Tyler brought the hammer down onto his mother a total of 36 times. During this frenzied attack, Tyler's dad heard, like, you know, all this noise, and he came rushing in to see why his wife was screaming. And when he saw what was going on, he also asked Tyler why. And Tyler's response was, "Why the fuck not?" Yeah. So he then turned his attention to his father. Tyler ran at his dad and began hitting him repeatedly with the claw hammer. And by the time his father was dead, he too had been struck a total of 36 times by his son. This is awful. So both Mary Jo and Blake Hadley were alive during every single blow that their son delivered to them. And they both died shortly after the final blow was delivered. Once Tyler finished his rage-filled attack on his parents, he went and got some towels and covered both of their faces with them because he said he couldn't look at their faces. He then drug their bodies one by one into the master bedroom and laid them out on the floor beside each other, and he put the claw hammer in between them. Now, the next thing that he did was super bizarre. He began gathering almost everything he could find, including furniture, and started just piling it on top of his parents' bodies.
I'm talking like he was...
Right, yeah.
Hiding it, but, like, not? Like,
exactly. That's... I don't know. Like, it was... There's pictures of it, and it's literally just this giant pile of just everything. So he covered them with bedding, towels, dining room chairs, a coffee table, just like random papers. He just piled everything on top of their bodies. Next, Tyler had to deal with the bloody mess that was left at the scene of the murders and throughout the house. So he tried his best to clean it up, but he didn't do a very good job. So it took him 3 hours to clean up most of the blood and gore that had been left behind. He used a mixture of towels, bedding, a sponge mop, Clorox wipes, and some coffee grounds to try to, like, soak up the worst of the mess. And then when he was done, he threw all of these items on top of the pile of, like, furniture and stuff that his parents were under. He then took a quick shower, and once he was out, he stood in front of a mirror and started just hysterically laughing for about 5 minutes, he said. By this time, it was around 8:15, and this is when Tyler posted that second Facebook status inviting everyone to the house party. Now, at the party, when people questioned him about the whereabouts of his parents, his story would change depending on who was asking. He told some people that they were in Georgia, he told others they were in Orlando, and he even told some people that his parents didn't even live there at all, like that was actually his house.
Okay.
Right. Meanwhile, this whole time, his parents were, like, lying dead in the master bedroom during that party with everybody there.
I just want to know how nobody walked in there.
So he had locked the door.
Okay. Because I was like, if there was that many people, you would think that they would try to walk into these rooms.
Right. And this party turned out to be, like, wild. It looked like one of those fake high school parties that you see in, like, teen movies that never really happen. So the house was completely trashed. These kids were just doing whatever the hell they wanted. They were just tearing
also,
everything up.
I've never understood that. Like, anytime somebody wants to, like, throw, I guess I just, like, I've been to parties, don't get me wrong, when I was a teenager, But none of us like destroyed property.
Right, like what is the purpose? I don't get it. If you're a teen and you're having a party and like you're sneaking behind your parents' back and you don't want them to know this party's happening, you would think that everybody involved would be like, okay, let's not fuck anything up so that we can do this again in the future, you know?
Yeah, I've never understood, like, even like in the movies and stuff, I'm like, is that realistic? Do people really do
No,
that? Because
except for here.
I know that I never did that. Not one part of me wanted to do
All
that.
right. These kids, they were like, they're going outside, they're like urinating on neighbors' yards.
Oh my
They're
God.
putting cigarettes out on rugs in the house. They're eating all the food they could find in the house, like smashing bottles on the floor.
Could you just imagine like walking and watching somebody just stuff their face because it's
Yeah. It was seriously like the more they destroyed and tore up, the more they wanted to tear up. And they just couldn't believe that Tyler wasn't concerned about any of this mess that people were making.
Oh, okay.
Like he didn't
Look at
he
him. He's letting us do it. Let's
right.
smash some more.
Right.
What?
They're like, oh shit, he's not worried about, his parents finding this mess because, whatever. This is this house. The only thing he did seem concerned about was the noise level. So he didn't want the police to be called. And they all thought it was because he didn't want the cops to come and like break up the party and he would get in trouble with his parents and all that stuff, but they had no idea why he was actually worried about the police coming. Even though all the kids were partying and like either drunk or high, if they looked around hard enough, they would have been able to tell that something had happened in that house that day.
Right, because he sucked at cleaning it up.
He did. So across the
I'm sorry, but
floors.
the first person that walked through the door to come to said party, you should have been able to notice then, is what I'm saying.
Right, because across the floors and the carpets, there were like brown streaks that led from the family room to the master bedroom.
Right.
If they had opened their eyes just a little, they would have seen the obviously dried blood on the walls and the door outside of his parents' bedroom. And the area around the computer desk was the worst, where, it had all really happened. This is where it was the most obvious. There were puddles of like a tacky brown substance that was splattered all around. And even between the keys on the keyboard. And it was around this computer that games of beer pong were being played. So they're all over there playing beer pong. The ball would often bounce off the table and sometimes land in these like sticky puddles. And the kids would either just like wipe it on their shirts or go run the ball under the faucet in the kitchen sink.
Like, how do you not notice it?
And they're just like, ew, there's something gross. At around 1 a.m., Tyler had had enough of keeping his secret to himself. So he decided he was going to confide in his childhood friend, Michael Mandel. The two had known each other since they were 8 years old. And Tyler asked Michael to follow him outside. And when he did, he said to Michael, I killed my parents. Now, Michael didn't believe him at first, especially since this wasn't the first time that Tyler expressed wanting to hurt his parents.
Right.
But to convince him, Tyler told him to go look in the driveway. So the boys walk over the driveway, and this is where Michael saw a red Ford Expedition and a black Toyota Tacoma truck immediately, and he recognized those as Tyler's parents' cars. So, like, if they were out of town, why were both of their cars in the driveway?
Also, why did nobody notice that before?
Right. No, I right. Tyler then took Michael to the garage and told him to look inside the garage. So there, Michael saw a bloody shoe print on the floor. And at this point, he was like, what the actual fuck? Like, this is when he kind of started to believe something awful had happened. So Tyler led him to the master bedroom, where before entering, Michael now noticed the dry blood on the floor and the walls around the door. And Tyler unlocked the door and opened it, and Michael looked in. And it was all dark. And at first, all he saw was just like this big ass pile of furniture and like dirty
Right.
towels. But then when he looked a little closer, he noticed a leg sticking out from under the pile. It was Blake's leg. It was his father's leg. So it was at this moment that Michael knew, yeah, he's telling the truth. Like he actually did this.
I'm sorry, but as Michael, like, if you told me that I saw the bloody shoe print and he's like, oh, come on, let me show you where their bodies are,
Right.
I would not follow him because clearly he's sadistic.
He's clearly sadistic, but also, I don't think I'd just run off because clearly he's sadistic.
Well, I know, but I'm just like, oh, he's walking. I'm just gonna turn around and walk this
Right.
way.
Yeah. Tyler then told Michael that after the party, he planned on taking a bunch of pills and killing himself. So Michael was like just flabbergasted. Like he couldn't believe what he just learned. This was someone that he had known since he was 8 years old. Like, how could this have happened? How could he have murdered both of his parents? Max Mazur, a friend of Tyler's, was standing in the hallway outside of the master bedroom around this time when he saw Michael rush out of the room, slamming the door behind him. He said Michael looked like deranged, like his eyes were wide. It was almost as if he was like trying to look over both shoulders. But Michael thought to himself, obviously he couldn't leave right after this big bomb was dropped on him. Like, Tyler would know, shit, he's going to turn me in.
Right.
So Michael stayed at the party for another hour after this conversation with Tyler.
Oh my gosh.
And he even took a selfie with him before he left.
To make it look like he was okay with him. Oh man, I could never.
Could never. So I'll post a picture on the Instagram of the selfie. It's like super creepy looking at it, like knowing that Tyler had just killed his parents a few hours before that, and that Michael knew what he had done at the time of the picture and was like trying to, you know, not tip him off.
Did he look like he was like, I mean, Michael, was he like uncomfortable?
To me, he looks uncomfortable. At first glance, I feel like it just looks like a couple of teenagers, you know, hanging at a party. But if you really look at it, like, to me, he looks not super comfortable. Tyler, however, looks very comfortable, and it's creepy. Before leaving the party, Michael grabbed the pills that Tyler had told him that he was going to take later that night to kill himself, and he hid them in a hall closet. Once he got home, he called police and he told them everything he knew. Now, Michael wasn't the only person at the party that Tyler had told that he'd killed his parents. Like, he couldn't stop telling people about it. At 12:30 a.m., the party was like running out of beer. So Tyler asked Mark Andrews and his girlfriend, Ashley Gershman, to drive him to the gas station like a block away. And Tyler gave a wad of like $20 bills to Mark, who was 21 at the time, and was like, go inside, buy like four cases of Busch Light. And while they were waiting in Mark's car, Tyler mentioned to Ashley that his father had died. And Ashley didn't really know Tyler well, so she assumed that he meant like his father had passed away like a while back or something.
Right.
But no, he was like literally telling her, yeah, my father like just died. Later that night, as Mark was leaving the party, Tyler asked him if he could speak to him privately, because apparently he's just going to speak to everyone privately and tell them, I don't know.
Hi, I just want to tell you that I killed my parents.
Right.
And that's why I'm throwing this party.
So Tyler took Mark outside and he ordered like all the kids that were standing there to get back in the house so that neighbors wouldn't call the cops, because there was like a bunch of kids. He's like, y'all go back inside, like party inside, you know. Once everyone was inside, Tyler turned to Mark and said, dude, I did some things. I might go to prison. I might go away for life. I don't know, dude, I'm freaking out right now. And Mark's like, what are you talking about? And Tyler was like, dude, I know you're not going to believe me. No one believed me. I freaking killed somebody. And Mark told Tyler, hey, like, you killing someone's your own business. Don't be telling me that sort of thing. I don't need to know about this. And like, kind of walked away.
Because he's 21 and knows.
He's like, I don't know nothing.
He's like,
I just bought this guy beer and now he's trying to make me an accessory.
Yes. 100%. That's what I was about to say. I was literally about to say that. I was gonna say, he's 21. He's like, oh shit, now I'm with this guy. He was just in my car.
Right. So Tyler went back into the house and he ran into Ricardo Acevedo.
Also, I'm sorry, but can we talk about why a 21-year-old was at this teenage party?
Right.
That's sorry.
Big party. Somebody had to supply the beer, you know?
It makes me think of, like, Matthew McConaughey. He's like, all right. Sorry. Continue.
So Tyler went back into the house, and he ran into Ricardo Acevedo, who was an 18-year-old who had just met Tyler that night. So Ricardo was like, thanks for having us over. Thanks for the beer. And Tyler was like, I just wanted to do something fun before I left. And so Ricardo was like, what are you talking about? Like, where are you going? And Tyler said to him, I'm going to kill myself. And Ricardo was like, why would you do that though? Like, what? And he was like, because I did something really bad. And if I get caught, I'm going to be in jail for a long time. And Ricardo was like, okay. So... this is the most awkward party ever. Like, I don't understand. So at one point that night, in his bedroom, he was talking to 20-year-old Kimberly Thieben, who was also known as K-Nasty to her friends. So she and Tyler were actually pretty close friends. They'd known each other for years. She lived just two houses down from him. So they're talking, and Tyler told Kimberly, "I'm going away for 60 years. Yeah, very specific. And she was like, "What the fuck?
Where did you get that number?"
Right. She's like, "What the fuck are you even talking about?" And all he told her was that she'd find out tomorrow. So around 2 a.m., somebody stood up and announced that there was another house party being thrown by a neighbor of Mike Young's. And so kids start running outside. They're like tossing their drinks in the grass, opening car doors, speeding off. Tyler runs out after him because he's like, "What is going on? Where's everyone going?" And he like knocked onto somebody's window and was like, where's everyone going?" And the guy was like, "Oh, there's another party happening." And so Tyler was like, "Oh, okay." When that kid was asked later to describe Tyler's expression during this conversation, the kid was like, he was just like blank face, like just completely blank face. Like there was no emotion, no nothing. He was just like, "Oh, all right." Which is really weird. So yeah. 14 cars peeled out of Tyler's neighborhood all at once at like 2 a.m. When they reached the house where the other party was supposed to be going on, they were disappointed to find that the house was dark and quiet. And like a girl came out in her pajamas and was like, "What are y'all doing? There's no party here." Like, it's not a thing that's happening. Meanwhile, all the commotion of the departing cars was finally too much for Tyler's neighbors. Rayanne Wallace, who lived next door, had known Tyler since he was born. Like, she was very fond of the Hadleys and of Tyler. She since said that he seemed like a really happy kid. He was always very respectful and polite. When he was younger, you know, he'd be tossing a football outside and she would like ask him, "Oh, you know, don't get the ball too close to my car." And he was like super polite and would be like, "Yes, ma'am." And, you know, kind of move over. And whenever she and her husband would go away for a weekend, she would give Tyler a few bucks to like keep a watch over the house, you know. By 2 a.m., as this caravan of cars tore out of the driveway, they were like revving their engines and blasting their music. She was like, "Nope, this is enough. I'm fed up."
Mm-hmm.
She couldn't understand.
I'm actually shocked they lasted right? that long.
Right?
Because I'm not Karen, man. I neighbor that if I would have heard kids at 10 o'clock at night, okay. like that loud, I would have called the police.
I would have been like beating on the door and like, "Shut the fuck up."
I would have done that, but I also would have been calling the police. I would have been like, "First I'm going to go over here and then I'm going to call the cops for a, I'm a party pooper. Sorry."
She couldn't understand why Tyler was throwing such a noisy party or why his parents would allow it. And right. when a group of boys from the party drifted onto her front yard and like started peeking in her window, she was like, "No, that's fucking enough." And she called the police. Right. Like, what is wrong with these kids?
I don't know what.
Two officers from Port St. Lucie Police Department arrived at the Hadley residence within minutes after calling. And by that point, there were fewer than 20 people left at the party because, you know, everybody had just left to go to this other supposed party.
Right.
When the officers rang the bell, Tyler told everyone to be quiet and go hide in his room. And once the kids were hidden, he opened the door and the police explained to Tyler that there'd been like several noise complaints. And Tyler talked to them for a few minutes, telling them that, you know, he's home alone. He assures them that there'd be no more noise coming from this house for the rest of the night. And within a few minutes, the police left. So once they were gone, the party started again. By 2:30, the people that had left at 2 began to kind of like filter back into the party.
Because the other party was non-existent.
Right. And it was becoming pretty clear at this point that something was wrong with Tyler. Like, he seemed stranger than he normally did to the people that did know him. When a 16-year-old cheerleader showed up with two of her friends, like, as soon as they entered the house, Tyler like slammed the door behind him. Like he started checking the windows and closing blinds as if like somebody was out to get him, basically. He kept touching his hair and like pacing around the living room. So people are like, "Dude, chill, what's going on?" He later told his friend David Garcia, he was like, "This party was fun. I might have another one tomorrow night." But then he like just a minute later was like, "But I might be going away for a while." And David's like, "What are you talking about? Are you like moving or going on vacation or something?" And Tyler was like, he said, "Just go away," to this kid. He just told the kid to go away.
Okay.
So he's right. He's being super
strict. I'm like, bro, you were talking to me.
Right. You started this conversation.
But all right then.
Tyler then started like turning off lights in the front rooms of the house to avoid attracting any further attention from the cops. And at this time, people are starting to like, okay, he's getting weird. Let's head out.
Getting weird.
Yeah, he's been weird like this whole time, guys. Ryan Stonesife, a kid that was there before he left at around 3 a.m., he said that he saw Tyler just like making himself a sandwich, like in the complete dark. He was just like standing in there, just in the dark, making a sandwich.
Also weird because, no. Why are you being so creepy?
Yeah. Yeah, around that time, everyone had left. And at 4:40 a.m., Tyler posted another message on his Facebook wall that said, "Party at my house again, hit me up." So he was
at
fully
4:40 in the morning.
Yes, he was fully prepared to start the party up again and just party as long as he could.
Sir, people are sleeping.
Right? Yes. No, like this is around what time I get up to go running in the morning. Like I've already slept.
I'm sorry, but no, I'm not even awake yet.
So he's ready to party again. Little did he know, at that very moment when he's posting that on his wall, the police were standing outside of his front door because, you know, Michael Mandel had called the Crime Stoppers hotline and told them everything. So officers Adrian Zamoyski and Charles Green were dispatched to 371 Northeast Grandeur Avenue at 4:32 a.m. They parked across the street. There were three cars in front of the house, a cream-colored Lincoln, a black Toyota Tacoma truck, and a red Ford Expedition. They ran the plates on the cars. The first one was registered to Tyler Hadley. The other two were to his parents. And as the officers walked up the driveway, they heard someone talking inside of the house. So Officer Green saw through like one of the front windows, the shadow of a person walking back and forth. So he like knelt by the window and he like peeked in through the blinds and he could see Tyler pacing across the living room, just talking to himself with a very disturbing look on his face. So Green would later write in his police report that his eyes were very wide and he was not blinking. He then watched Tyler grab a stack of books from a bookshelf near the front door and march them into the back bedroom. And after saying something that they couldn't understand, he dumped the books on the floor in a frantic manner. And then Tyler repeated this twice more, like returning for a second and a third time for stacks of books and then dumping them. Finally, Officer Green knocked on the front door, and for a second there was no answer, but Green could see Hadley through the window, like walking away from the door, and the rest of the lights in the house went off, which is not suspicious at all, right?
Don't be suspicious.
So then Tyler opened the door. He was wearing a black shirt, black shorts, and his left hand was hidden behind his back. And so, but officer,
also
right.
No.
Don't do that. No. So,
officer, let me see your hands.
Officer Zamoyski drew his gun and like ordered Hadley to put his hands up. He's like, whoa, no, this is not happening. So he orders him, put his hands up, step outside the house. They then checked him for weapons, didn't find any, and they ordered him to the ground and they handcuffed him. So they asked him if there were any adults at home, and Tyler said no. They later said that he seemed frantic, incoherent, kind of annoyed, and that his pupils were very large. And he said, "I know I'm going to Rock Road, so just take me," which that is where the county jail was located, on Rock Road.
I was like, what does that even mean?
Right. So they left Tyler and they entered the house. Tyler started shouting. He's like, "You can't go in there. Don't go in there."
I mean, you can.
You can. Like, they're going in there. So once in the house, the officers noticed, you know, the complete wreck that it was. Empty beer bottles everywhere, red plastic solo cups everywhere. Everything was just, like, trash to shit. There was pots and pans all over the kitchen counter. Tyler's bedroom floor was littered with unraveled cigars for some reason. On his bed, there were about 15 empty beer bottles and a woman's purse. So you might want that later, girl.
So he stole it or she left it?
Right, there's no telling. The furniture in his older brother's bedroom was all turned over and the floor was covered with clothing and bedding. this is sad, they found the family's black Labrador, like, locked inside the closet of that bedroom, like, just scared to death.
Oh,
Right?
I didn't even know there was an animal.
There was actually two dogs. So they had a black lab and they had a beagle. The beagle was found at some point, like, just in the shower hiding.
How did nobody hear these dogs?
They were just, like, they weren't making a lot of noise. They were just scared and hiding. Like, there was just so much going on. The officers then passed through the kitchen and they approached the master bedroom. It was locked, but they noticed streaks of dried blood on the frame and the baseboards around it. So they forced the knob open and walked in. And that's when they discovered the bodies of Mary Jo and Blake Hadley hidden under the pile of just everything. So Tyler was immediately arrested and charged with 2 counts of first-degree murder. News broke on the next day of the horrific crime that had occurred, and nobody could believe it.
I wonder how many kids were just like, oh my gosh, I was at this house this whole time and there were dead bodies.
Yeah, a lot of them. All of them, basically. So over 1,000.
But also, I would have been like, why didn't I notice all of this blood?
Right. Over 1,000 people attended Mary Jo and Blake Hadley's funeral. At the reception after, Ryan Wallace, the neighbor, approached Ryan Hadley, who was Tyler's older brother who'd been gone to college in North Carolina at the time of the murders.
Right.
And he mentioned to her that he was going to go to the prison that night and visit his brother. And this would be the first time that they would see each other since Tyler murdered their parents. Ryan told Rayanne that this was what his parents would want him to do. Like, they wouldn't want him to abandon him.
My parents would.
So
sorry.
He then told her that he didn't know what he was going to say to him. He was like, I'm probably just going to sit there and cry, but, you know, they wouldn't want me to just leave him there. So his friends and kids that had attended the party the night before have shared speculations as to what could have caused him to snap and kill his parents. One girl said that, quote, he was under a lot of pressure and like his parents would never let him be himself. And honestly, I think that they caused everything that just happened. Like, his parents always expected him to be someone who he wasn't, and that's not right. Anything Tyler would do, he'd be wrong for, so he just broke. Honestly, he got crazy because of it. If you have that much hate for somebody, then you would actually do something like that.
Why would, like, you blame the parents?
Right? What the fuck is wrong with that kid? That's awful.
Yeah. It's not the parents' fault.
So, like, they did everything they could to try to help him.
You can't, and this is going to sound however it's going to sound, but you can't blame anybody else for your actions. And I truly believe that you can't even blame the psychologist for the medications or anything. Yes, he was on a ton of medications, but he decided to do it, period.
Right.
His fault.
Absolutely. The most common opinion by his friends was drugs. So his friend Marky said, we all made mistakes when we're on them jiggers. Tyler, right, I don't know.
Okay.
I don't know.
What is jiggers?
He said Tyler drank heavily and smoked pot and popped pills like a madman. So most people thought it was like all the drugs he was doing and alcohol. On the morning after the party, the news of Tyler's arrest spread rapidly among the teenagers who had attended the party. Mike Young and several of his friends had just returned from the beach when their phones started like going off like crazy. And Mike said, quote, I was like, damn, brother, that's creepy as hell. I can't believe we partied last night where there were some dead people.
Who says that?
Right. Like, these kids are all. They all got issues. At one point, this Mike kid gave an interview to a local news reporter. And then, like, after the news report, like, after that was aired, he got like 30 new Facebook friend requests. And all these people were like, I saw you on the news. Like, oh, that's so cool. And
that's not cool.
No. He said, yeah, it was awesome.
But it's not awesome.
It's not. And one girl who attended the party said, I wasn't upset when I heard. I wasn't scared or disgusted. It's not like I knew him personally. I was just in awe.
What is wrong with these children?
Like, they're all fucked up, right? Okay. Because when I'm reading all this, I'm like, what is going on in this town?
Like, for real, like, I want to know, like, what is going on? Because I'm going to tell you right now that I would not be that way.
No. This kid, Anthony Snook, when he found out about Tyler and the murders, he said, quote, wow, I just went to the party of a lifetime. It's messed up what he did, but 20 years from now, I'll be able to say I was there. I hate Port St. Lucie, but this is kind of cool. Yeah, it's not cool. It's not cool.
No.
So, following his arrest, Tyler Hadley pled guilty to 2 counts of first degree murder, and the case did not go to trial. He was just like, I did it.
Okay.
Yeah. On March 20th, 2014, a sentence hearing took place, and Tyler was given a life sentence without the possibility of parole. He didn't get the death penalty because he was 17 when he committed the murders. In 2018, Tyler appealed his sentence at the District Court of Appeal, and his sentence was changed to life in prison with the possibility of parole after 25 years. So at the St. Lucie County Jail, Tyler was a celebrity, basically.
That is not cool.
Yeah. Tyler has said when this shit went down, it went worldwide. Like in a letter to a friend he wrote, he said, I was the second most popular story right after the Academy. He responds to fan letters and he signs the name Hambo and also will sign things using the nickname that some of the other inmates gave him of Hammer Time.
Ew.
Disgusting,
Ew.
right? That's fucking awful. But it's not all celebrity status for him. He has been like jumped and beat up pretty bad while he's in prison, so whatever. I'm gonna just finish this up real quick by reading a couple parts of some letters that he wrote to family members and to his friend Michael Mandel while he was in prison. So the first one is to his grandparents before like he was even sentenced. It says, I was just living my life as a normal 17-year-old kid, and next thing I know, I'm in the middle of St. Lucie County Jail. I ruined a lot of people's lives, and I can't seem to forgive myself. I find myself crying a lot because of all the guilt. Every day I beg for forgiveness, and I ask God not to send me to hell. I don't want to go there. Father Michael told me that if I just confess my sins and repent, then God will forgive me for everything. I just can't get rid of all of this guilt. It's swallowing me whole. I'm extremely nervous that I'm going to get a life sentence. It's making me pretty depressed. I want to say that I'm really sorry for all the grief I've stirred up. I know everyone thinks I'm a psychopath and all, but I'm really sorry for everything. I've been praying every day for forgiveness and for a decent plea offer. I should get one since it's my first offense.
First offense.
I feel extremely bad for Ryan and especially you and my other grandparents for the grief I've caused. I feel like Ryan doesn't love me anymore, but I know he does and he's just going through a rough time. It's so hard going through this. I'm scared and I feel so alone. So it's clearly all just about him.
Yeah,
Like,
and also for somebody that wants to say they're sorry and that they like they're trying to apologize and all that, then why are you answering fan mail?
right. He's
You're not
clearly, he's
sorry.
super narcissistic.
Yes.
In the letter to his best friend, Michael Mandel, the one that he originally, the one that turned him in. He said, I wish I could throw back some Miller Lights and smoke a fat ass strawberry white owl. I don't know about drugs,
What
so
is
it's something
that?
about drugs. But I gotta say, it feels good to be sober. My head is nice and clear. Make sure you drink some Miller for me. Drink yourself stupid like I used to do. I swear to you, Michael, the devil had a hold of me. I talked to him and he talked to me. That's why I seem so crazy toward the end. I'm not a cold-blooded monster like everyone thinks I am. I'm a caring person that made a horrible mistake. You gotta let people know that. He also forgave Michael Mandel for turning him in and preventing him from committing suicide. But before he, like, quote-unquote forgave him, he made sure to point out that he said, I'm in jail because of you. No, you're in jail because of yourself. You did this. You murdered your parents.
Also, out of all of this, he doesn't seem sympathetic to the point that like he doesn't have his parents anymore. Does he not realize that he doesn't have his parents anymore? They're gone forever because of him. His brother lost lost 2 parents, and that his grandparents lost their children, and that like all of this stuff. And not to mention, you're gonna sit here and send a letter to your friend, I'm putting in quotation marks or whatever, that he you're in there because of him. First of all, no. And how do you think he feels knowing that he was in this house for hours and had to see a body?
Right. So he literally, I saw an interview that Michael Mandel did later on talking about how this completely wrecked his life. He said, you know, he's known him since he was 8. They were friends. They hung out all like they were best friends. And now after all this, he said, I have issues meeting anybody and trusting anybody because you never know
100%.
what people are capable of.
100%.
It's awful. So awful.
Like, he's scarred for life.
Yeah. And that is the case of Tyler Hadley.
That's so crazy.
So crazy. So, yeah. That's that on that.
Well, I knew the case. Like, when you said party, that's when it hit me.
Yeah.
So, I remember reading about the kid that killed his parents and partied after it and everything. So it's sad, but
so sad. All right. Well, follow us on the stuff. Yep. Instagram, Facey Space, SierraHawkSisters.com.
We'll find everything on there. Make sure to check out our Instagram. You'll see all the pictures and more about the case.
Pictures from all that. And all right. So we should be awkward about it.
Okay. Let's be awkward. Okay, bye.
Bye.